Welcome to Living as a Disciple podcast. We live in a post-Christian culture, so how can we be and make disciples of Jesus? Discover it with us as we talk, brainstorm, and show you ways to be a disciple that makes disciples in today's culture. With you today, your hosts, Randy Nelson and Micah Johnson.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Living as a Disciple podcast. Randy, how are you doing?
Doing well. This has been a fun journey going through the Great Commission, and I'm kind of excited about us tonight wrapping this up and talking about some of the highlights of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think if I'm counting correctly, this is episode 8. Is that correct? And speaking of wrapping up, you mentioned wrapping up. When I think about wrapping, I think about gifts, presents. Do you enjoy receiving gifts and presents, Randy?
I thought you were going to ask me if I enjoyed wrapping.
Oh.
And that would be no.
Well, you could do a wrap here, too, if you want.
No, I meant wrapping presents. I am not good at that. But sure, who doesn't love the open presents?
Are you good at rapping, though?
No, I am not.
Oh, okay.
No, that is not my strength.
I was actually talking about rapping presents. But yeah, I think, you know, we all probably enjoy a good present now and again. I don't ever claim to be a great gift wrapper either, but it is always fun to give gifts and to receive gifts. You know, there's always that saying, it's better to give than to receive. And I think that's always been hard when I was growing up to understand. It's like, well, I like getting gifts. I don't want to give gifts. And now that I'm a dad and a little bit older, hopefully a little bit more mature, I've understood the joy in being able to give gifts as well. And as I kind of reflect on, you know, before we jump into our content here, kind of reflect on what we've talked about over the course of these podcasts, it really is about that joy of giving and giving because of what we've received through Jesus Christ, and being a disciple, and even the job of evangelism is really about giving back, right? It's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I've really appreciated that aspect of these podcasts of not only do we get the joy of receiving, but we get to have the joy of giving.
Yeah.
And again, we'll get into some of the content here. It's often the thing that we struggle with probably the most is the giving of that, the sharing of the gospel. How do we do that? How do we make it practical? And then even as we kind of start kicking off, getting into our content here, thinking about that Great Commission, you know, this whole start of this podcast series has been on the Great Commission and how Jesus really commanded us to go and do this. And I think about as a dad, as a leader in the workplace, a leader in church, there's oftentimes when you ask people to do something, right? And you often expect them to do it within a certain timeline. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But have you ever been in a situation like that, Randy, where you've had to ask somebody, it could have been a son or a daughter or a spouse or somebody that, you know, is under your leadership to go do something and you'd like it done by a certain time?
Yeah, I'm not going to throw my family and kids under the bus because
that's probably a good idea.
But I can say that I can recall many times as a kid, Dad would have me, have something I was supposed to do and, yeah, I failed in having to face that. And maybe that was kind of the payback as a dad, as maybe it happens. You realize how that works. Yeah. And it's not that you don't want to do it. It's just, man, and especially hurts to let somebody down. Yeah.
Oh, there's definitely been times I didn't want to do something, but, but yeah, I mean, and being in leadership roles or even as a husband, father, when you kind of expect something to be done, it's often disappointing when it doesn't get done. And that kind of brings us into the intro of, you know, wrapping up this Great Commission piece here, is the fact that before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave the church and his disciples at the time a very clear description of what we're to be mm-hmm. doing until he returns. The unique part about that is we don't exactly know the day or the hour or the time that he's going to be coming back. But right. He did give us a clear picture of what it means to be a disciple maker.
Mm-hmm. You know, I agree. And I found this passage to be really helpful once I understood that. Because, you know, honestly, I think a lot of folks don't really, you know, you come to, maybe you grow up in the church and you feel like you've been a Christian your whole life. But nobody really told us what that means, what that looks like, or what does Jesus expect us to be doing? And, you know, that's why I love this passage and why I really wanted us to dig into it in this first season here, because it really does very plainly lay out what does Jesus want us to be doing. And, you know, from, you know, giving us authority to do it, as well as promising to be with us, there's a lot of cool stuff here that I think helps us clarify what we're supposed to be doing and how does that impact our daily life.
Absolutely. So as we're jumping into it here, maybe some people that are listening, this is the first podcast that they're listening mm-hmm. to. Maybe they jumped right to episode number 8. If you did that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the other ones too that led up to this. But for those that might just be jumping in now, when we talk about the Great Commission, we're talking about the passage in Matthew 28, and I'll just read it real quick here as we get going, Randy. Matthew 28, 17 through 20 says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Now, this passage of scripture, often referred to as the Great Commission, has a lot to say to us about living as a disciple, which has been really the focus of this podcast. So, do you mind diving a little bit deeper into that, Randy? Just kind of peeling back a little bit as we kind of condense everything at the end of this wrap up.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's called Great Commission. Commission is not a word we use a lot, but commission, we do understand it as when you're commissioned, it's somebody who has authority, gives you authority or tells you what they want you to do. And that's really what he says. And the opening verses there, right? He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." But that all authority, that's such a powerful thing for us as believers. And to understand that because of what Jesus did, going to the cross, paying for our sins, and being raised again to life, everything has changed. He has taken back what the enemy had, and he is now the rightful heir and owns everything. He is the victor. And while that may not be, it's an already but not yet thing, not only is our sins forgiven and we have that promise of eternal life and all the things that come with that, but also he is ruler. He is king. He has all authority. And so he tells us we have that authority now too. We are to carry this out confidently because he's given us that authority.
Yeah, absolutely. And throughout the podcast, we've talked kind of from a practical perspective, like what does that mean for us, right? Because we're mm-hmm. all in different walks of life. Some of us are teenagers, some of us are dads, some of us are grandpas or grandmas or aunts and uncles, things like that. Talk to a little bit of the practicality of what we've been discussing, Randy.
Right, yeah, that whole idea, right? Not only has he gives us authority, but he gives us clear definition of what it to make disciples. And that's the goal. That first off is that you and I are called to be disciples, not just attending church, not just, you know, on the church rolls or something, or even, you know, good people who believe in Jesus. He tells us to make disciples, that we should personally be growing as a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, but also that we should be making disciples. And he gives us, you know, clear directions of what that looks like, again, because of his authority. He tells us what to do to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, emphasizing that it's He who does that work, who because of what He accomplished at the cross, He has the right and the power to forgive our sins. And He has given us this sacrament that offers to us that wonderful free gift of grace, not something we earn, but something He calls us to pass on and to share with those who believe, as well as to our children who will grow up to follow that and trust in that. And then He gives us that next important part of it, right, is to equip them, to teach them all that I have commanded you, and learning all that is, which is a great deal, but it gives us a real clear guide as to how we're supposed to live. Again, yeah, that's real high look at this, but you know, so often we go through life and we feel like, man, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be here doing. What is my life about? And Jesus says very plainly here, no, your job is I have come to save and rescue you. I want you to be a follower of mine, and if you will follow my word, if you'll live those things out, you are going to have a rich and full life as a disciple of mine, as well as one that will lead others to believe and trust in that too. You know, it reminds me that you had started off talking about joy, right? And the joy of, I totally get it. I never was really got the idea of receiving is better than giving. No. That's how I grew up. Giving is better than receiving. That part is the hard part. But it's amazing is when we realize what we have received from Jesus, the forgiveness that we have, that close relationship with Him now, that promise of eternal life, the indwelling Holy Spirit, insight into His Word, there is a joy, and you want to share that with others. And it's amazing when you begin to realize that that's really where fulfillment is. That's where your life really feels like you're accomplishing something and doing something of value, and especially in your different roles, whether it's maybe as a dad with your own children and mentoring and pointing them to the truth and the things you find in Scripture, or learning to be a good husband and care for your wife, loving her as Christ loved the church. And again, all those things, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in, those are all things that come from God and are a part of living as a disciple.
And I think, if I had to summarize it very succinctly, as we've gone through these, it's been more and more evident that being a disciple is really about relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe firmly that God made us to be relational people. Mm-hmm. And even though we live in what's considered one of the most connected societies ever, we've also been never more lonely in the entire history of the world.
Yeah.
And there's, I don't have any data in front of me to prove that, but there's been definitely things that I've read and listened to that have backed that up. They said, you know, we are living in an age of very lonely people, and making disciples is really comes down to being intentional in our relationships with people.
Absolutely.
I've heard it said before, people that are really good at just talking to other people about Jesus, that seems to be the thing that kind of gets us a little uneasy, shifting in our seats from time to time. And the people that are really good at it, they're just like, what's the big deal? I'm just talking to people.
Mm.
Like, that's all it is. It's a conversation with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's sharing the joy, like you had mentioned, of what Jesus has done in our lives with somebody who may or may not have ever heard that before. It makes me think a little bit about the passage in 2 Corinthians 4 that talks about the light of the gospel. And I'm not going to read through all of it, but it has various aspects, like verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 4 that talks about the gospel is veiled to people who are perishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on in verse 6, and it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on, verse 7, which is probably one of the more popular, well-known verses within that passage. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so cool to think about, especially that last part, the treasure that's in jars of clay is shown by the surpassing power of God that is in us. It's not of us, but it's because of the power of God in us. And to me, that gives me a whole lot more confidence as I go and have a conversation with somebody to say, this isn't about me. I'm not trying to check the box and say, look at all the tally marks I have of all the people that I've discipled or that I've led to Jesus. It's not about that. It's creating relationships for the kingdom of God.
Right.
It's about coming alongside brothers and sisters in Christ and encouraging them, or unbelievers, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they've never heard about the gospel, and sharing the gospel with them in confidence, knowing that the authority comes from Jesus, and it's his words, not ours.
Well, and I really appreciate you're taking us back to relationship, because I think sometimes we miss out, we hear this second part, right, of having to make relationships with others and tell them about Jesus, but we miss the first part. It's really a relationship with Jesus that fuels this, that drives this.
Yep.
When we talk about being a disciple, that means I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That means I love him. I believe in him. I trust in what he's saying. I want to become more like him. I everything within me confirms or wants to be more and more like him. And the more time I spend with him, the more I grow in that relationship with him. Really, I just can't help it. It's not really as much a law, something I have to work up. It's a natural byproduct of me being a follower of Jesus. As I follow Jesus, people are going to see Jesus in me. You know, it just starts to become part of it. Makes me think of our tech man, Ignacio, here. I love Ignacio's accent. And you'll notice that, like, if I hang out with him more than 10, 15 minutes, I start to talk a little bit like him. Probably nobody else notices it. I think I pick it up, but
we can't send you on any trips to Australia then, or you'll come back sounding like an Aussie.
I know some people that are just like that, right? They talk, have two or three sentences with somebody, and pretty soon they have a very strong Russian accent or something. But
that is pretty interesting, because you think about even that aspect of, you know, not to get all psychological or whatever, but the things that people do that you're around on a regular basis, they rub off on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have family that grew up in Minnesota and they moved down south, and you meet them now, and it's like, you never know that they grew up in Minnesota because they sound completely different. But that's kind of part of that discipling aspect is, you know, the disciples of Jesus followed him everywhere. They wanted to be involved in what he was doing. My kids follow me everywhere, even places that I don't want them to follow me to. And I won't get into those details, but they want to be a part of what I'm doing, right? Because they want to observe how I'm doing things, why I'm doing things, and they ask questions along the way. I think that's a real big part of that relational aspect of being a disciple. Not only are we wanting to learn more and more about Jesus in our own personal relationship with him, but there's going to be people that come alongside of us and say, hey, I want to learn what you know. You know, I want to continue to learn about this Jesus that's impacted your life.
I think when you're around somebody that you really like, and not so I do mimic you because I love your accent. I think you're, well, he's just a cool guy, right? We have to agree to that.
It's the first time that Nacho's ever been a part of the podcast. Everybody like should know that he's running the show and we're just talking in the microphone. Yeah.
But that's the point, right? It's the things that we mimic, the things that we like and that we're drawn to. And Jesus is, that's really what drives all this, isn't it? And what people see, and that's what it's attractive. That's the, you know, that infectious quality of Jesus when he shines through us. And that's, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit working in us. But as we grow in our relationship with him, people see that and they know that's a joy. That's something that I want. And I do think that's a really big part of this call to making disciples, you know, and especially I think too, as we just working through this next line about of all nations, just thinking about how that is, you know, in that day it was of all, it's all nations is how we define it, right? But it's all ethnos, people groups. And that's a big topic for us today in our culture, is different groups and being connected and united. And I think that's very true. But it was a big deal back when this was originally spoken. You know, back then the Jews didn't think anybody else was saved, anybody else was worthy of God. And yet God says, no, I'm going to send you to all people, all nations, all people. And it kind of speaks to us as well, too, that when we think of people groups, it may not be, maybe you don't live in a neighborhood or a community where there's a lot of other ethnic difference peoples, but there's certainly probably other people you don't hang with or that have different likes and things, or for whatever reasons you don't feel connected to them. There's an intentionality too there that God wants us to reach out to those people outside of our little groups and be sharing with them too, because Jesus loves them and died for them as well. And there's a call for us to engage people who are not like us and to show that love of Christ as well as the people that we do like and are like us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as you're talking through that, one of the things that came to mind for me, and this may come off as a criticism, but I think oftentimes when we talk about the ethnos of, you know, people groups, all nations, sometimes the worst offenders of not being a part of all nations and all ethnos groups are our own churches,
yeah,
right? We tend to kind of fall into our comfortable situation of, well, all of these people are, you know, they talk the same as I do, or they look the same as I do. They go about their day similar ways that I do. And we do forget that there's a world outside of just the people that we're comfortable with in our church, that also maybe need to hear about the love of Jesus, or maybe also know about the love of Jesus and should be invited into our churches and our congregations. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was just kind of a side thing that I thought of as you were talking about that, because it's very much an individual thing, but it also has an impact on our churches and our congregations.
I agree 100%. It's so easy for us to focus just on the people we're comfortable with. And I think that's another part of this call, the Great Commission, is to be looking, who are the people in our circles of life that maybe we aren't so comfortable with, but we have a unique relationship with them. Maybe we work with them. Maybe they're a neighbor down the street or whatever. Those are people that Jesus loves too. And maybe he's calling us and he's uniquely placed us in a relationship somehow, whether it's physically because we're on the same block or because we work in the same place or whatever. But it's amazing to see if we go with that intentionality, we realize that God's got a plan, and he may want us to in little ways share with them how Jesus has made a difference in our life. It may not be, hey, I'm going to sit, hey, want to listen, tell me, let me tell you a bunch of stories, but just how we carry ourselves, how we reach out to them, how we show genuine care and compassion. Those are all things that it seems like in our world, I think we all recognize, it seems like we're all divided, right? It's all us versus them. And I think a big part of the commission is Jesus doesn't want us to think of people that way, but rather others it's all part of us, all part of who he died for.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's easy to, if you are seeking to live as a disciple, I think of even especially in the workplace, we don't live in a society that openly welcomes people sharing their faith in the break room and stuff like that. Not that you can't, but it often can become very wearying, for lack of a better term, when you try to have conversations with people and it just seems like it's not going to stick, you know, or it doesn't stick. And, you know, I've even had, you know, opportunities at work where typically when people ask, well, how was your weekend?
Right.
I always talk about, well, me and my family go to church and we enjoy going to church and here's, you know, what we learn. It doesn't always stick. People just kind of tend to brush it off. But I also have heard, and I don't know that I've necessarily seen a ton of these come to fruition in my own life, but I've heard plenty of testimonies of people that have had similar interactions, and they could go on for 10, 15, 20 yeah. years and seem like it's not making an impact until one day somebody at work is going through a personal crisis or something. And all of a sudden that kind of comes to fruition. They're like, hey, you know, I've known you as a man or a woman of faith. Could we have that discussion? Because I'm going through some stuff right now.
Right.
And it's fun to see and hear, not of the trials of life, but to see how God works in those situations as well.
No, I agree 100% that that's a big part of living our being a disciple is somebody who you live as a follower of Christ that others will see, not in a way that's offensive, but is genuine, right? And people appreciate that and value that. And like you said, it reminded me of, you know, that last part of the text where Jesus talks about being with us always. Reminds me that, you know, all of this, God invites us to participate in this, but he's the one that's doing the work, right? He is the one who is reaching people through the Holy Spirit. He is engaged in other people's lives in ways we can't even imagine. And so many times we have those divine appointments, I would call those, you know, like where, like you just described, right? Where somebody comes and, you know, they've always seemed maybe cold to you because of your faith, or is, you know, distant in that. But when they face something in life, all of a sudden, yeah, well, that's a guy maybe I do want to talk with now. And that's really what that idea is when Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The assurance is that this is an ongoing relationship where he is continuing to make us disciples. He's equipping us to make other disciples. And he's the one creating disciples. He is one working in their hearts through the word and through the experiences of their own life. And we just get to be there, a part of it, get to witness that. And that's pretty exciting too.
Yeah. It's kind of like being the practice quarterback on a football team. It's like you're kind of part of the team, but the first string is still doing all the work, right?
Yeah.
You get to be a part of it and get them ready for game day, but I don't know, maybe that's a really bad analogy, but you know, it is fun to know that God works in and through us, and yet we're just that catalyst, right?
Yes.
It's not all about us, right? We're a tool in the toolbox, and God works through his Spirit through us.
I can honestly tell you, having been a pastor for 25 years, there were so many times when, like after I preach a message, I'm like, okay. And people would say, oh man, that really touched me in a certain way. Or like in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I didn't even mean that. Or even I've even looked at old sermons. I'm like, wow, that was really good. Where did that come from? I'm not that smart. I mean, so many times it's comforting. I find to realize that it's God who does the work. He is the one who equips us and uses us and many times gives us just the right words to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is comforting to know that he is always with us, even to the end of the age. Yeah, I think of some situations similarly where either I was preaching or giving a presentation or leading worship music for the worship team. And, you know, I just kind of walk away going, that could have went better.
Mm-hmm.
But people are like really being ministered to through that.
Mm-hmm.
And similar situation. It's just reassuring that knowing it's not about me, you know,
right.
I could just show up that day and God can still do great things.
Praise God. That. Yeah, it's cool.
So as we go on from here, Randy, how can we as disciples of Jesus make use of these truths that we've learned over these last 8 episodes and promises in our daily lives today?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that and how to sum this up. And I guess, you know, if there was 3 things I think that we could kind of wrap this up, how do we apply this to start living this out today? First would be realizing that we live in a fallen world, you know, and that the things that are going on around us, it often hurts us. We're sad. We see these things happening, but realize that this isn't what God intended. It's a fallen world. And then the goals and values and the peer pressures that we come against 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they come from a godless, if not evil, place that's seeking to pull us away from God. And that there is going to be opposition to living out a life that's committed to observing all that Jesus commanded. The things that are holy and godly, the world doesn't like. And so it's going to be tough, and there's going to be times that we're going to fail and struggle. But we also need to remember, too, that we're not helpless. God's given us His Word. He's given us His Holy Spirit, as well as the body of Christ, our fellow believers, our local congregation. They're there to help us, to strengthen, encourage us, as well as equip us to stand up. Second, I would say, is then, along with recognizing it's a fallen world, we need to commit to intentionally living as a disciple of Jesus every day. Because of that constant pressure, if we will make that decision each day, I'm going to be a follower. I want to be mindful of what God has done for me. I want to be thinking about who I am in Him, a forgiven son, child of God, that who is a sinner and is going to continue to sin, but that sin has been paid for and I'm forgiven. And that because of what Jesus has done, God looks at me as a beloved child of His. So that's my place in Him, but then also to be directing my mind, filling my mind with the Word of God, spending time in prayer, not just bringing my list, but listening and hearing what God has to say. And again, I really think being a part of the local congregation, such a big part, such an important part, those relationships with fellow believers that grow, whether it's in worship or Sunday school, different training opportunities, or as we participate in different ministries, as our church is reaching out to people in the community and caring for others and showing the love of Jesus, those are all things that are really important, because God has uniquely gifted each of us, and the gifts we have are needed by our congregation, as well as the gifts that they have are needed by us to grow. And so it's really important to work at that. And I guess finally I'd say is just remembering that Jesus loves and died for this fallen world. Even as we began talking about how it is a fallen world, and it feels like it's in not only in opposition, but against us, it's easy for us to fall into that trap of it's us versus them. That's honestly just a scheme of the enemy. That's not how Jesus sees those people who are different from us, who have different values from us, who vote differently from us. We need to recognize that God placed us right where we are with the people who are around us for such a time as this. And He's uniquely gifted us and called us to minister to the people in our life, even the ones that are not nice to us, so that we can be Jesus to them. And that's what He calls us to live that out. Our job isn't to save them. Only Jesus can do that. But He does call us to be a witness to who He is and what He's done in our lives and how that's impacted us. And so we need to ask God to give us a love for those who are in our life who are lost and hard against us, that He would give us that same burden that He has for them to seek after and to show that love and allow Him to work through us. And then also, too, recognizing this calling isn't to us alone. We need to be a part of our church. We need to be a part of a church that's alive and active and witnessing in your community, being Jesus in real, tangible ways, and then helping our church, too, to focus outside the four walls of our church and finding creative ways to engage people outside our community. I think those three things stand out to me as how we can live that out in a regular case.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. I appreciate that kind of summarization. One, realizing that we live in a fallen world. Two, being committed to intentionally live as a disciple of Jesus every day. And then three, remembering that Jesus loves and died for this fallen world. Because the reality is, if you're listening here and you are a believer in Jesus, you've probably witnessed this. It's not always easy, right? Mm-hmm. Following Jesus, being a disciple maker, comes with trials. It's not an easy, straight and narrow path. People are going to reject the things that you say. They're going to say things that maybe hurt you, you know, hurt your feelings, stuff like that. We need to realize, we need to keep that in perspective, that we live in a fallen world. We need to still be committed to living intentionally as disciples, with the understanding that we remember Jesus loves us and died for us. If I could just end with an encouragement, because I think this is so important, that as we go about discipling and we face those trials and rejections and things like that, the book of James has a really cool encouragement for people of faith. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." I think that's so cool, is that those terms, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, that's nothing that we can do. That's all God, right? We can't be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, apart from the Holy Spirit working in and through us. So I want to encourage our listeners as we close with that thought, that it's not going to be perfect. As we go about it, we can be as intentional as possible, and it's still not going to be perfect.
Right.
But when we allow God to use us in the ways that he wants us to be used, it can be perfect and lacking in nothing, because he's the one doing the work and not us. And then we can truly count it all joy when we go through those stretching times, those trials, because that's producing steadfastness in faith. Randy, with that in mind, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. And thank you as we have just been thinking about how much you love us, because that's really what this is all about. So much so that you wanted to have that relationship with us, that you were willing to come and to die for us. Lord, we can't even begin to imagine all that that says and means to us. But we're thankful for it, that you would choose us. Thank you as well, God, that you have called us not only to believe and to trust in you, but you've given us a commission. Because of what you have done, you are able to empower us and give us the authority to live this out. And Lord, we just thank you too for the gift of your Holy Spirit and your word that equip us and empower us. Thank you as well too for our local congregation, the body of Christ that you have placed us to be a part of, where we can use our spiritual gifts, but also we can be ministered to them, to by them, and also together we can reach people that you love that are perishing without that saving knowledge of you and trusting in you. And above all of this, what I love, as we talked about today, about the joy that can be ours, not because we're perfect, not because we do everything right, because we're going to struggle. There's going to be those issues, but because of who we are and whose we are, and we are joining you in being a part of this, that we get to have a life that has meaning and value and purpose that will last forever. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray too for maybe someone who might be listening here tonight who's never heard these things before, didn't realize that God loves them. God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Help them to know that for them there is forgiveness and grace, that they can come to you, seek your forgiveness, receive it, and to know that they can be a child of the living God. And that by believing and trusting you, they can have that promise of eternal life. And for those of us who do know that and are trusting in you, God, confirm that and encourage us in whatever struggles we may each be facing today. Whatever, maybe it's a loss, maybe it's a struggle at work, who knows, but you do. And you are there with us, and that's your promise. And I pray, God, that for each one, we would know that this promise is for us, that you're with us always, even to the end of the age. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Randy. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in for this episode as well. We encourage you to subscribe and share the podcast. And also you can visit our website at aflc.org/evangelism. We have a lot of resources on there. If you have questions or comments or ideas, we'd love to hear from you. and just be able to reach out and connect with you as well. So thank you again for listening, and God bless you.